Thank you, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, July 18th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Pastor Ivan Mawarire of the This Flag campaign dismisses claims that he is a ZANU-PF imposter, with some Zimbabweans quizzing his authenticity as a champion of change.
I have nothing else to say in terms of disproving that. But I am neither an agent of ZANU-PF, neither am I an agent of the West, the UK or the Europe.
Zimbabweans stage a protest over the deteriorating economic situation in the country.
We are saying here the Zimbabweans have been resilient for so long. Zimbabweans have taken it for too much. They are hungry. They are now getting angry because there's nothing on the table. A hungry man is an angry man.
And Zimbabwe People First leader Joyce Mujuru pledges to engage the international community if her party is elected into power.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. After giving the voiceless a voice and hope to millions of Zimbabweans reeling from a depressed economy, Pastor Ivan Mawarire of the popular hashtag This Flag campaign last week quietly left Zimbabwe for South Africa, sparking speculation that he has abandoned his growing number of followers. There were even reports in some sections of the media claiming that Mawarire is an imposter acting on behalf of some ZANU-PF followers to chip away support from the opposition. One story that has gone viral claimed that Mawarire was on his way to the United States to seek asylum after accomplishing his alleged mission to disenfranchise the ranks of the opposition. Although Mawarire posted a Facebook message on Friday seeking to allay the fears of many who say they have lost trust in him, speculation has continued growing that he is not what he is. An independent political analyst, Denise Lumacapulana, told Studio 7 that there is a glimmer of hope for Zimbabweans seeking change in Mawarire, although he does not rule out the growing skepticism.
Think from general observations, increasingly he is becoming trusted. There are observations that he has been close to the system and that he has sort of been brought up within the perimeters of the present regime. However, what we can observe is that politics throughout the world is populated by such characters and individuals. Some of them are spooks, spies, agents of the regime. But that really has never stopped populations from engaging in counter-hegemonic anti-regime movement. It is possible that even if Ivan Mawarire is a spook or an agent, the population of Zimbabwe can go beyond his spookiness and do what they want to do and challenge and even dethrone the system. So it will be to favor and credit the system to stop because he is being suspected. Yeah. There are 50-50 chances that he could be an agent, he could be not. But populations can never be stopped from what they want to achieve because an individual is a suspect, even if he is leading a movement.
But if he indeed is a spook, as you are saying, would he be someone close to Mnangagwa, as is being alleged in some sections of the media?
If he was a spook, he would be more of a creature of the intelligence, not directly aligned to one faction.
That was independent commentator Denise Lumacapulana. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from South Africa. We reached Pastor Ivan Mawarire himself, who says he's meeting Zimbabweans in South Africa to find the way forward for the beleaguered country. We started by asking him if it's true that he skipped the country and that he's heading to the U.S. to seek asylum.
Yes, I've heard the news and seen some of the information that's going around. I think let me categorically say that that is not true. I've traveled on a scheduled trip. I do regular trips to South Africa and even beyond. And this was a scheduled trip that I had already on my books.
When do you think you are going to be back in Zimbabwe?
Oh, I'll be back there pretty soon. I think, for me, those are personal details pertaining to my travel. but it won't be long since till I'll be back.
There have also been reports in the media that you are probably a ZANU-PF agent. Can you clarify?
Again, I've heard and seen some of those going around. And it's unfortunate that when something happens in Zimbabwe that people don't understand, there are a few people that want to put a spin to it. Again, let me say this. I have nothing else to say in terms of disproving that. But I am neither an agent of ZANU-PF, neither am I an agent of the West, the UK or the Europe, and neither am I an agent of the opposition parties in Zimbabwe. I'm a citizen of Zimbabwe, and that is as simple as it is.
There have also been reports that you are probably heading here to the US. Is that true?
No, heading out there has always been part of my business. I'm not heading there right away. I'll be going back to Zimbabwe first before I make a trip out to the USA for a church business, which I regularly do. But heading out there in terms of asylum, as has been reported, is not true. That is not part of my plan. I have committed no crime in Zimbabwe. I am an upstanding citizen who abides by the law and has done everything according to the Constitution. So I have no reason at all to be skipping or to be running off to any other country.
There have been questions that have been asked about what you eventually want to see in Zimbabwe. Is it a new president, or you still want the same status quo but with the five demands that you have put forward?
I think the five demands we put across are a starting point to some of the changes that we want to see in Zimbabwe. Ultimately, the core of this flag is about seeing a better Zimbabwe. It's about citizens getting involved in building a better Zimbabwe. And I think for me, going ahead or looking ahead, Zimbabwe cannot look different if we continue with the same ideas and the same people. So effectively, what we are looking for as this flag going forward into the future and as the elections come is a chance for a new set of thinkers, a new set of leaders to take charge of our nation. It's a right that we have to be able to choose that new set of people to govern us, and we want a chance to do that.
There have also been questions raised about this flag being fronted by an individual without any structures on the ground.
This flag is different. This flag is housed within the hearts of Zimbabweans that love their country. And I think this is the unique factor or the winning factor of this flag. We are not trying to be a formal organization. We're not trying to be structured. We are relying on the fact that the citizens have a cry, or the citizens have a direction that they want to go. And we want to be able to house that energy within every Zimbabwean, not within one person, not within one structure, not within, a document of some sort.
But the question still remains that if the citizens of Zimbabwe are the structure, there is a vacuum. Like right now, people are saying the pastor has abandoned us. And if you had a deputy or a structure, people would be turning to that deputy or the structure. What do you say?
Well, again, this is where we start to fall short. Turning to a deputy or turning to a savior person or savior structure, and even in the case where people are saying pastor is the one that we are turning to, that itself is a mistake. Each person is the one that is responsible for this movement.
That was Pastor Ivan Mawarire of the hashtag This Flag campaign. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Business came to a standstill in Shinoyi on Saturday when most residents joined MDCT activists to demonstrate against what they called ZANU-PF mismanagement of the economy. That was part of the Beat the Port campaign, an initiative of the MDCT Women's Assembly. Arthur Chigoriwa reports.
Demonstration that was initially barred by the police citing manpower shortages, was allowed to proceed by Chinoy Majesty Chakawira Mugabe on Friday afternoon, leaving the organizers with little time to mobilize people for the event. One of the demonstrators, Konsilia Chinanjalana, who was abducted in 2008 with seven others, including her husband, and spent 55 days at an unknown place being tortured by state security agents, said the people of Zimbabwe have been resilient for too long, but are now demanding that the ruling party should be accountable to the electorate.
We are saying here, the Zimbabweans have been resilient for so long. Zimbabweans have taken it for too much. They are hungry. They are now getting angry because there's nothing on the table. A hungry man is an angry man. The people of Zimbabwe need jobs. The people of Zimbabwe need food. They can only get it with a transparent government that can protect the economy of the nation, that can make us produce, that can make our children have jobs so that they can have self-sustenance. If they can't do that, they better resign.
An MDC youth who wanted to be identified as Obey said President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party has failed to create 2 million jobs it promised in the 2013 general elections. He said Mr. Mugabe should step down for failing the nation.
He must go. And we've got a lot of reasons to justify our position when you say Robert Mugabe has to go. He has failed to deliver his promises, to start with the promise of 2.2 million jobs that he brought to the people of Zimbabwe in 2013. It's now 3 years down the line, and not even a single job has been created. But instead, we've seen the mushrooming of multitude of vendors, which is contrary to his promise of creating 2.2 million jobs. Secondly, it is the issue of rampant corruption.
Some women were beating pots at the event, symbolizing that there's nothing to cook because there's no food at home. One of those who was beating an empty pot is Mrs. Angeline Mapondera of Chitambo High Density Suburb. Mrs. Mapondera said there is no food to cook as her husband was not gainfully employed. Another youth, Lawrence Ginger, who joined the demonstration midstream, said he decided to join the event because demonstrations are the only way to force President Robert Mugabe to listen to their problems. The demonstrators urged the government to abandon the introduction of bond notes, pay civil servants on time, and to bring back abducted activist Itai Dzamara. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Meanwhile, Zimbabweans protested today outside the Zimbabwe embassy in Sweden to show their solidarity with their colleagues back home. There were also similar protests staged in South Africa, Australia, and Washington, D.C. Saturday. Zimbabweans in New York are expected to protest at the Zimbabwe embassy this Thursday.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow when we will be speaking with young Zimbabweans in the diaspora who have joined in protesting in solidarity with others in Zimbabwe currently calling for President Mugabe to step down.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Zimbabwe People First leader and former Vice President Joyce Mujuru says her party is expected to engage the international community to revive the economy if elected into power, unlike the current ruling ZANU-PF, which is always attacking the West for nearly all problems faced by Zimbabweans. Reporter Lloyd Hamoyo has the story from Mutare.
Mrs. Mujuru told about 5,000 people attending a Zimbabwe People First rally on Saturday at Sakuva Stadium in Mutare, Manicaland Province, that her party would create mutual relations with many nations.
Aisho, What we are saying is that you do not insult people around you when in future you will need their help. As people first, we do not choose who to work with. We shall look everywhere and we take what is good for us as Zimbabweans and pursue that. If we have nothing to do with some country, we will simply remain quiet and not scold others. And that is what has landed us in this mess.
President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party crafted what it called a look east policy following a fallout with the West that imposed targeted sanctions on some senior ruling party officials following allegations of alleged human rights violations and election rigging. So-called mega deals signed by the Chinese and Belarus are yet to bear tangible results. Mrs. Mujuru said relations with any nation should benefit Zimbabwe.
People first will look everywhere to move ahead and give people hope and transformation. That is what we are looking for. As leaders, we do not just travel anywhere and come back empty-handed. When you go out, you have to make sure you bring with you something for the children back home. That is what we know.
She said Zimbabweans are seeking answers on the country's deteriorating economic situation, stressing that local people don't deserve to be severely punished by the police for making these demands. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
That was Lloydham. Thank you very much. And Lloydham couldn't talk to presidential spokesman George Charamba and ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo because they were not available for comment.
Coming up, Zimbabweans attend International AIDS Conference in South Africa.
And now we go to our regional and international news.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said Monday he supported bringing perpetrators of the attempted coup in Turkey to justice, but warns the government against going, quote, too far, while restoring order in that country.
And a former U.S. Marine has been identified as the gunman who shot and killed three police officers and wounded three others Sunday morning in the southern U.S. city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a city already on edge following the point-blank shooting earlier this month of a black man by the police.
And in our health segment, the five-day International AIDS Conference started in the port city of Durban, South Africa, today at the International Convention Center. Every year, the International AIDS Conference has a dedicated theme. This year is Access Equality Rights Now. It is a call to action to work together and reach the people who still lack access to comprehensive treatment, prevention, care and support services. Reporter Blessing Zulu gives us more.
More than 60% of people living with HIV remain without antiretroviral therapy. Women and girls, men who have sex with men, transgender people, sex workers, young people, and people who use drugs and other marginalized groups remain underprioritized in the response. Investment in HIV prevention research appear to have flattened, and widespread violations of human rights, including criminalization, continue to undermine effective responses. This is the challenge facing experts gathered in South Africa. South African Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa, who also chairs the South African National AIDS Council, told a press conference that the gathering is key in fighting the pandemic.
This is the second time that South Africa is hosting this global conference, gathering of some 18,000 people, which really brings together professionals, health workers, scientists, activists, policymakers, and indeed also people living with HIV, and all of us are involved in a common cause of ridding this world of this epidemic.
The Zimbabwe delegation at the conference is headed by Health Minister Dr. David Parirenyatwa, who says the key message to the conference was prevention. He said for Harare to achieve its target on ending AIDS, there was need to, quote, close the type of new HIV infections, close quote. Daniel Molokele, Executive Director at AIDS Accountability International, says Harare can reap huge benefits from the conference.
It's important that Zimbabwe be visible here because we're one of the countries that is worst affected by the HIV epidemic.
Chairwoman Martha Tolana of the Zimbabwe Network for Positive Women concurs.
Zimbabwe will also be sharing their lessons learned and what they've come up in research. So this is highly significant.
Ending the pandemic by 2030 has been set as the goal by UN member nations. They've also pledged treatment for 30 million people living with HIV by 2020. Mr. Ban told the conference today that the funding remains a stumbling block in achieving this goal.
The world has proven that when we come together, we can transform lives. But the gains are inadequate and fragile. More than half of all people living with HIV still lack access to treatment.
There are some 36.7 million people worldwide living with HIV/AIDS, mainly in sub-Saharan Africa. Of these, only 17 million are receiving treatment. By ending the epidemic by 2030, the world would avert 18 million new HIV infections and 11.2 million AIDS-related deaths between 2013 and 2013. In April 2001, the African Union countries met in Abuja and pledged to set a target of allocating at least 15% of their annual budget to improve the health sector and urged donor countries to scale up support. Years later, only one African country reached this Abuja Declaration target. Molokela says this is a major blow to fighting the pandemic.
Not just HIV, health in Africa is struggling in terms of financial priorities. Most budgets in Africa prioritize security, the army and the police, you know, instead of social situations.
Tolana echoes the same sentiments.
It's worrying because we wonder how we will manage. But despite that, I think everyone on the Zimbabwe team that is working around HIV is committed.
New infections globally fell 6% since 2010 from 2.2 million to 2.1 million, and AIDS-related deaths have almost halved from their peak at 2 million in 2005. Although Harare's prevalence rate has dropped to around 15%, Zimbabwe is still grappling with inadequate funding to curtail the disease. Zimbabwe has the fifth highest HIV prevalence in sub-Saharan Africa. At least 1.4 million people are living with HIV, including 170,000 children, equating to 4% of the global total. The International AIDS Society, or IAS, which organizes the conference, is the world's leading independent association of HIV professionals with over 18,000 members from more than 196 countries working at all levels of the global response to AIDS. That is claimed more than 30 million lives in 35 years. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Blessing Zulu.
By the end of this week, the Republican Party here in the U.S. will have officially nominated Donald Trump as its presidential candidate and presented its opening shot in the general election race that culminates with U.S. voters making their choice on November 8. Monday's opening day of the party's convention in Cleveland, Ohio, is focused on national security and immigration. Speakers include former governor of Border State Texas, Rick Perry, the mother of an American killed in Benghazi, Libya, several immigration reform advocates, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and Trump's wife, Melania. In an interview with a CBS 60-minute broadcaster Sunday night, Trump answered a question about the state of the world with an answer that is a likely preview of criticisms that will be directed this week at President Barack Obama and Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. Trump has proposed building a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border, as well as banning Muslims from entering the country. He softened slightly on the Muslim ban in Sunday's interview, suggesting he would focus more on people's country of origin. VOA's Abdul Shakur, who is in Cleveland, speaks with Studio 7's Chiwoniso Jani about the convention.
In Cleveland, Ohio, the main convention for the Republican Party is starting off today. The kickoff is today, where major speakers will be talking. One of them is Giuliani, who is the former mayor of New York, and the wife of Donald Trump, Melania. They're going to talk, and they're going to talk about Make America Safe Again. At the same time, there's going to be a lot of demonstrations which are planned. They're going to start very soon. There's a demonstration against Trump, and the Trump campaign has called everybody who supports Trump to come out at a place here in Cleveland to demonstrate and demonstrate support for Donald Trump. So there's a lot of activities taking place.
People turning up, are they coming up in numbers? What is happening?
In reality, what is happening is that people of Cleveland are not present here at the meeting. What is happening at the convention is specific members. There is about 4,000 members of the Republican Party and delegates who are here. That is well known. But there are about 50,000 people. Yeah, people have come from different parts of the country. There are plenty around here in town. They are from the left-wing parties or for the left-wing ideology up to the right-wing extreme ideology. So we are seeing huge amount of different parties of people with different causes coming here, those who are for supporting Trump and those who are against. So if we're talking of that dynamic, there is a lot of people here and there's going to be a lot of demonstrations, but they are being forced to be confined in a specific area.
What can you tell us about the immigrants that have attended?
Immigrants and people of different origins are outside. Those are the ones who are really demonstrating.
That was VOA's Abdu Shakur, who is in Cleveland, speaking there with Studio 7's Joanne Sojani.
For perspective on the processes of electing a United States president, including such conventions, Joanne Sojani reached Tonderai Mudzinganyama, a Zimbabwean living in the United States.
As a citizen of both Zimbabwe and the United States, I think some of my biggest concerns are around the immigration rhetoric that Trump has been talking about as of late. But I think what the convention is probably going to do is give us deeper insight as to the balance that Mike Pence will be bringing in to what Trump has been talking about during his campaign and the lead up to the convention.
There, are you going to be attending?
Surprisingly, my work schedule has me working in Cleveland beginning tomorrow, and I will be done with my personal work schedule, so nothing to do with the actual convention itself. I'm obviously going to try and attend or be at one of the local functions.
You mentioned the racial rhetoric. What can you tell us in terms of the immigrants in this country?
I think the intent behind the idea is noble because of all the terrorist activity that's been taking place. But I think with how it's been addressed thus far, the concern is it's going to blanket innocent immigrants under that stop-and-go policy that he wants to implement. So maybe greater detail on how he plans to halt all immigrants from coming into the country and while he's also trying to fight and curb terrorism. So the convention hopefully will shed light on what that policy is going to look like in the run-up to the actual elections.
That was Tonderai Mudzinganyama speaking with Studio 7's Joanne Sojani from Ohio.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about protests in Zimbabwe as Pastor Ivan Mawarire of this flag engages Zimbabweans living in South Africa.
If you wish to join the show, you can send us a WhatsApp message on +1 202 465 0318. That number again, +1 202 465 0318.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Pastor Ivan Mawarire of the hashtag This Flag campaign dismisses claims that he is a ZANU-PF imposter, with some Zimbabweans quizzing his authenticity as a champion of change.
Zimbabweans stage protests over the deteriorating economic situation in the country.
And Zimbabwe People First leader Joyce Mujuru pledges to engage the international community if her party is elected into power.
That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. For more on our top stories, you can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at the following number, 001-202-465-0318. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.